Today, on Valentine's Day, maybe more than any other day, people are trying intentionally to share their feelings and to share their love or to express their love with their loved ones. It's amazing, right? Through all the year, everybody's kind of focusing to be very, very intentional today. They put a lot of effort in today's day. It is a day where people make plans ahead of time to show their love and appreciation to their spouses and to their families, to their kids. And the internet and the stores are buzzing. They're busy with people that are shopping. Online is going crazy. Obviously, because of COVID, it's a little bit down, but usually malls and shops are just packed with people. Yesterday, we were even at a grocery store, and it was packed. It was packed with people, almost like Corona didn't exist anymore. Everywhere people, we're next to each other, people are just buying stuff, and people are preparing for this day. I did a little research, and it says in 2019, Americans spent $20.7 billion in this day. So there's so much effort goes into this, but it gets even better. In 2020, in America, it was spent $27.4 billion on Valentine's Day. It's amazing how much effort people are putting into things that we can just tangibly have to express love, to express their feeling, to express how they feel. So many times people say, and so often people say, I love you. And it's amazing, right? It's almost like, hi, how are you? We got so used to this word that now we identify our love and our affection the way we say, I love you to our family. We can express, I love my dog. Or we can say, I just love my house. I just love to go to the store. I love this weather. And I love you too. And it's amazing, right? How this word is so powerful, but yet people are just using. But I want to say this, that yet so many people is still, in the midst of expressing this love, they're still looking for love. They're still empty inside of their hearts, and people are still looking for love. I was listening to Dr. Billy Graham, who passed away a few years ago, and I believe that he probably said it the best, right? As if you listen to Dr. Billy Graham, he said the most misused and misunderstood word in the English language is the word love. It's amazing. It is amazing. And Dr. Billy Graham even went further than that to express and preach the gospel that away from the love of Christ, we do not know what love is. And even though we share during this day how much we love each other, apart from Christ, it's just words, that it's a conditional love, but the love of Jesus Christ doesn't have conditions. And there's a difference. People pay billions of dollars today to express their love, but God expressed His love to us by giving His Son, Jesus Christ, for free. So we don't have to die, but live forever. That's amazing. That is just amazing. The reason for that is because God is love. And all the source of love comes from Him. All the areas of our life should be affected by God's love. Sometimes we tend to affect and to have love of, from our experience, of how our circumstances come into our life. And we try to kind of manage and understand a little bit of that. But I believe that it has to be from up down, not from down up. It has to be understanding God's love into our life and letting that love to affect every area of our life. And today I want to talk to you for a moment about agape's love. Agape's love. And this love is unmerited and unconditional love of God. Even though sometimes we might not fully even understand and comprehend this love, but it's a love maybe that we not necessarily having so much feelings, right? We might not feel that, oh, I have that love and somehow I just can tangibly shake it or not. But it's more that comes from the foundation of the Word of God and having God in our life because God is love. And when we have that understanding of who God is, the foundation of who God is, it is His is love. And when we possess God, when we have God in our life, we have that love in us. And it's not about feelings, even though sometimes they might come and go, but it's the foundation of a Christian believer that Jesus Christ has loved us. And now because He is in us, we are having that love. Agape love is a supernatural love, a love that we know nothing about apart from God. Understand this. This agape love cannot be understood apart from God, but only can be received when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Yes, the Holy Spirit might work in our lives and He reaches out and He tries to come after us and speak to us to bring us to repentance. But it is when we fully come to Him, we begin to understand by receiving Him this love that is so unconditional. This love is being birthed by the Holy Spirit in us. And it's not only on Valentine's Day that we will share love, but it's every day of our lives we will have that love. Because in the moments when we're doing good or in the moments we're struggling, God is still the same. And His love doesn't change for me and for you. To my wife, this day is a special day because my wife, about 20 years ago, was adopted by her father on Valentine's Day. And what's more amazing that this Valentine's Day, her father's now last name is Valentine. So not only she was adopted on Valentine's Day, but her last name became Valentine. And she was adopted, I believe, when she was about 18 years old by her father, by her stepfather. And there was a lot of money involved to pay the lawyers, to pay all this legal fees, because he just wanted to adopt her. Even though they lived 4 years in that house, it came a moment when he said, enough is enough. I'm gonna make this girl part of me now. And I'm willing to invest thousands of dollars to go to court, to make this official, for the judge to put the gavel down and to say, now, legally, she's yours. And she's gonna have your last name. It's amazing. So that's why this day is a little bit special, not because of just a Valentine's Day, but because first of my wife's adoption, and also there was also a name given to her that even when we got married, we agreed that we can't just throw this last name now of hers, you know? Now she's kind of like Haley Valentine Mafte. We agreed that we cannot just throw that name away because it's so dear to her. But now I want to talk to you a little bit about the adoption of Jesus Christ and us to Him. You know, we were lost in this world. We were so far off from the right track, but Jesus Christ came and not only paid a few thousand dollars to adopt us, but He paid with His precious life. And His blood was shed on a cross for my sin and for your sin, for Him to purchase me and you, and now we are adopted by Him. That's amazing. And you know what happened in that adoption when my wife got adopted? Everything that belonged to her father now belongs to her. Before then, not so. But that day, on Valentine's Day, everything that belonged to them, good, bad, and the worst, became part of her. When we become adopted by our Father, Jesus Christ, because of His love, all the things that He possessed, now it's part of us. It is offered to me and for you. There is no stages in this adoption. Once you become born again, you are adopted by Him. And everything that He has, all the riches and His glory, His love and His mercy, compassion, everything is offered to me and to you. The victories that He had now is offered to me and to you because He has adopted us. Praise God. If you don't have a shout in your heart right now, I don't know what else will do it. I don't know what else will do it because there's such a truth in this. That He has adopted us when He did not have to. And He paid the penalty of death so me and you can live and not die. That's amazing. That's real love. That's a love that never changes. That's a love that is unconditional, unmerited love of Jesus Christ that He wants to share with you and with me and remind us today that He loves us that much. Love is not a feeling. Love is a verb. Love, it's an action. Remember this. Love is just not a feeling. Yes, we might have feelings. Sometimes, you know, I'm putting my wife a little bit on a spot, but some of those days she just comes to me, she's like, do you love me? And I was like, I thought I did because 7 years ago or 6 years ago, I married you, right? But she wants to be reminded every single day that I love her. And that's normal because we're people. We have to do that in marriage for our marriages to be strong, right? But sometimes we might go through a day and we say, I don't feel like that. I don't feel that you love me, or I don't feel that I love you. Because so often we're so prone to put our trust in feelings. But as men as we know, our feelings change probably 10 times a day, if not more. It goes up and down, but God's love doesn't change. He's stable. Say stable with me, say it. Stable. His love is just stable. It's a foundation, a strong foundation in our life. And it's not just a feeling, a buzzy feeling that we just have, but it's also a verb. This love, it's an action. And that's why John 3:16 says this, for God so loved the world, and He did not stop there. But because He loved us, there was action required from heaven. And He says that He gave His only begotten Son. Say gave with me. Gave. See, when we have the love of Jesus Christ, we will give. We will give. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. In different words, the love of Jesus Christ in our life brings hope to other people. And this love requires me and you to give, and to give. The love naturally that we have, it's based a lot about feelings and what we do for each other and how many gifts we give on Valentine's Day. But Jesus' love never changes it. It's not about feelings, but it's about the truth of Jesus Christ and requires action. And He has shown us that by example, by coming and dying on a cross for my sin and your sin, to redeem us, to call us His own, to call us His children, to call us by name. Listen, to call us holy. Do you feel holy today? Maybe you already woke up in the morning and your thoughts already went somewhere, or your action went somewhere, and you lost your temper, and or you did something. And in the midst of all of that, He's saying, but you are my chosen generation. You are particular people called by my name, peculiar people, and you are loved by me, and you are holy. You are holy. You know why you're holy? Because He has imputed His righteousness to me and to you. He has imputed that. He has given that righteousness because He loves us. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4 says this, but God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love. See, it was not just because of His just love, but because of His great love, which He loved us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses or in our sin, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. You see, even when we were dead in sin, His love resurrected us. His Spirit came and says, I'm gonna breathe life in you. You did not choose Him, He chose you. And because He has chosen you, now He wants to share everything that He has with you. Because by grace you have been saved. Not of your own, not through your works. Not because you can offer Him something, but because He just chose to love me and you. I do not fully understand His love, I'll be honest with you. And I don't think I'll ever will till the day I die. But I know one day I will know His love when I'll be with Him in heaven. It is such a depth to that love that we can talk and comprehend and get a glimpse a little bit about it. But I think the best way to partake and to experience that love, it is to give love to others. I think it's a snippet in our life that when we experience the love of Jesus Christ, is God the Father gave His Son, we are now to give ourselves for other people, to share this love for others. Because we are loved, we are to love others. It is a command. The Bible says in John that you cannot say that you love God and you don't see him, right, physically. You can't say that you love him, but you hate your brother or you hate your sister. It's impossible. It's impossible for a Christian to say, I love God, and then you hate your brother and your sister. But because the Holy Spirit has been given to us, we have the ability supernaturally to love that person. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 says this, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. You see, one of the attributes of our life that people will know that we are his disciples is when we love one another. And sometimes it's difficult, sometimes it's hard, but that's why we need his strength. That's why we need his Holy Spirit to say, God, when I fail, please help me. Would you help me? Would you help me to cover somebody? I'm not talking about you have to be best friends now, because this is what misunderstood. All of a sudden you have to become best friends. No, but you have to respect that person enough, pray for them and love them to the best of your ability the way Christ loved us. Amen. You see, the love of God in our life will compel us to give. To give, even from our time, to spend time with somebody, to reach out to somebody, to share our belongings or to share our finances, our blessing with somebody else. It is to give, and there is so much joy in that. I'm telling you, there is so much joy when we share what God has given to us with other people. Giving of ourselves for the sake of others, it's amazing. It is amazing, but we cannot do that without the love of God. The slogan of Summit International School of Ministry, our Bible school here, it says, living for the benefit of others. But can I say that this cannot happen without the love of God? We cannot live for the benefit of others without having the love of God in our life. Because naturally we are prone to be selfish and to live for me, me, and me, and me again. But when we have the love of God, it compels us. It compels us to share our life with somebody else and to live for the benefit of others, because that foundation is it is the love of God. And he's the perfect example of that. Can you imagine that Jesus said, you know what? I love you, but I don't know if I'll die for you. I love you, but dying, it's a little bit too much. Can you imagine if Jesus would have said that? There would be no hope. But he says, you know what? Because I love you, I'm committed to you to the end, even to the death. And so often we have limitations in our life of how much we want to share that love. How much would I want to express that love as a Christian? But the Bible calls us to give and to love even though when it hurts. Even though when it hurts. It says in John 15, verse 13, it says, this greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. And Jesus says, you are my friend. You are my friend. You know, with friends you spend time. With friends you talk. You converse. With your friends, you hang out, you laugh. And Jesus identified this people that, you know what, I'm gonna go and die for these people. Those believers that will put their faith and trust in me. And not only that, but they are my friends. And because they are my friends, I'm gonna die for them so I can have them even closer. Part of their relationship with Jesus Christ. And part of this love that is shared, we are to spend time with him. We are to get this love in our lives, and this love comes from spending time with him, reading the word, praying. And yes, we're not gonna just sing the song, I am the friend of God, just when the song is being sang, but we are gonna be truly friends of God because we know him. We know him, and because of his love, he has reached out to us. Praise God. He demonstrated his love on the cross, taking the penalty of sin upon him. So now we can live and love. Not only live, because Christians are very good at living, but But God did not only die for us to live, but also to love. Live and love. We cannot give what we don't have. For that reason, we need to receive His love so we can have the ability to give. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, God is love, and without God, we cannot share His love. God is the source of love. When you have God, you have something to share. Don't say, I don't know what to share with somebody. I don't know what to share with my neighbor, with my friend. If you have God, you have His love. And often, even if you say, Jesus loves you. One of the things when I was growing up in the evangelism, what my parents used to do, and they're still doing, they're simply in conversations, they're just dropping this sentence, Jesus loves you. And that was pretty much it, the whole sermon. Sometimes we think that we have to become theologians to share the love of Jesus Christ. But we are just to share maybe just one scripture that says, you know what, God loves you. Because God is love. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says this, we love because He loved us first. So the ability that we have to love, it's a resemblance because He has loved us first. And now as a result, we love other people. It's hard sometimes to like a person, not talking about even loving, right? You're probably thinking, what are you talking about? I don't even like this guy. And you're talking about loving? Yeah. It's hard sometimes even to like some people. I have to fight the battles you have to fight. But we don't have a choice. God did not give us a choice. But He said, pray for your enemies. And through that prayer, when we cultivate that prayer for their lives, I believe there is going to be supernatural love in our heart that can be only birthed by the Holy Spirit to care for that person, to pray for them, and to see them succeed. Amen? But the love of God gives us the ability to love. In spite of our shortcomings, in spite of our failure, God is going to give us His love because He has adopted us. And proud of His character and who He is love. And He cannot be anything but that. Praise God. You see, the absence of love is fear. There's so many people, so many Christians are just living in fear. In my life, I also dealt with fear. And this fear comes from guilt and failure. You see, the love of God is not a license to sin, but it's actually the foundation to keep us away from sin. And so many people think that, if you're just going to preach the love of Jesus Christ, that means everybody's just going to do what they want because God loves you anyway. You know, God loves you so much that He will change you, not leave you the way you are. The love of God actually is the foundation that drives us away from the world and brings us closer to Him. There is no fear in love. But the absence of the love of God is fear. It is fear. It is hard sometimes, and I know that it is, when we deal with the things from day to day, but Jesus Christ is there to help us. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says this, there is no fear in love, but the perfect love of Jesus Christ casts out fear. That's amazing. I think the answer to this generation, the answer to the world today that we live in, especially during this season and times we live in when people are just captivated by fear. They're captivated by fear. And it leads them to depression. It leads people to commit suicide. It leads people on the track of just running for their lives. And the result is because of the lack of understanding or the lack of us maybe sharing the love of God. You see, we have what this world is looking for, and it's the love of Jesus Christ. The love of Jesus Christ that can come and push away darkness, push away the fear. Love covers multitudes of sin. You see, the basis of our life is Christian life is love, but also is forgiveness. You cannot go and put love is over there and forgiveness is who knows where, but they go hand in hand. The love of Jesus Christ is demonstrated through forgiveness, because he forgave us on the cross. He forgave us because he loved us so much. And I would like to end with a passage that is written in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, chapter 50. If you have the Bible, if you can open up with me, please. The book of Genesis, chapter 50. And this was a story about the family of Joseph, his brothers. And you probably are aware and know the story of Joseph, how his brothers forsook him. They wanted to kill him, to get rid of him. But it came a moment where there was famine. And throughout that famine, God brought reconciliation in this family. And in that reconciliation, Joseph began to weep. And he says, you know what? I forgive you for everything you have done. I forgive you. Even though you meant the things that you had did for me, the enemy meant it for evil, but God has turned them for good. One more time. Even though the enemy has meant all these things in my life for evil, but God has turned them for good. And Joseph is trying to express to his brothers, I love you. I'm covering all these things that you have done to me with love. And not only that, but I forgive you. I forgive you. Forgiveness is something that we don't hold those things against that person. But we put it aside. By the grace of God, we put it aside. And this passage now, it says that their father Jacob passed away. And his brothers, they were afraid. Again, fear began to come into their life. Think about it. They were sitting at the table with Joseph. They were eating the meals with Joseph. They were having access that probably nobody else had access. Joseph had a high position in that land. And sitting at the table with Joseph all of these days, they're probably thinking, you know what? One day, even though Joseph tells us he loves us and he forgave us, but one day we're just waiting for that day when our father is going to pass away. He's going to punish us. He's going to come after us. And he's going to bring revenge against us because of what we have done. And can you imagine living like that? Maybe you're coming to church. Maybe you're spending time with your Savior. Maybe you're sitting at this table and partaking from this table. But deep inside there's fear in your heart that, you know what, one day, just one day, I know that Jesus said that I love you. I know that this love is offered. I know that he adopted me. But one day I think he's gonna just turn the tables against me. And I'm gonna be punished for my failures. I'm going to be punished for my sins. I'm going to be punished for my action. And so many people live like that. And that's why fear creeps in into our hearts. I believe it. It's because fully we did not understood and gave room to God to just bathe us in his love and his mercy. We say, yes, we're Christians, we receive this Christ, we give our lives to Christ, but there's still something inside of us that is doubting that can God really cover me and not hold anything against me? I was in that spot. That's such a bondage. Now, I'm not talking for a Christian that plays with fire. I'm not talking for a Christian that just does whatever what they do. I'm talking about sincere Christians that want to live right, that they want to serve the Lord, that they love the Lord, but some how in the midst of this journey, this understanding came that God, even though he loves you, one day he will still deal with you. And I believe that that's the foundation to allow fear to come into your life. And the only way this fear can be cast out is receiving his love today. It's the only way. It is coming to the foundation of the gospel that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Such a powerful word. And now his brothers came to Joseph and they're crying and they're coming up with a story that, listen, before they're even making up a story, before your father passed away, before Jacob passed away, he said, please have mercy on your brothers. Please do not punish them. Please do not turn the tables against them. And what amazes me here, in verse 17 it says, when Joseph heard all these things, he began to weep. He began to cry. And I began to think about this passage. Joseph, why are you crying? You might disagree with me, but this is just my feeling, okay? I believe Joseph began to cry because he just realized that all these years, his brothers never understood the power of love and the power of forgiveness. He began to cry. He began to think about all these years I spent with you, eating at the table, letting you know my emotions, how much I love you. And inside of your heart, you always were thinking that one day I'm gonna come after you. And truly, you were never free. You were never free. And he just was sad, began to cry, understanding that, oh my gosh, all these years, these people lived in prison, even though they were free. And he says that, in verse 19, Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. You see, again, it's fear. They were afraid. That's why they were coming to say that. Joseph says, do not be afraid, for I am I in the place of God. But as for you, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good, in order to bring it in about, as it is this day, to save many people. God has a plan when he offers us this love. God has a plan when he shares with us this love. And the plan is to save people. The circumstances me and you face in our life, the difficulties sometimes we face in our life, even though God allows them things and the enemy might come and bring things for evil, or he meant things for evil, but God will turn them for good. And the reason for that will be so me and you can save many people. Can save many people. Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. I believe the Holy Spirit is comforting someone today here. And God is speaking kindly to you. He's not mad at you. He's not mad at you. But in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of your journey where you feel like, I don't know, but I feel like one day, you know, he's gonna fool me. I don't know. The Bible says that he never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And if he said yesterday that he loves you, today he loves you, and tomorrow he will love you. Because he can't be anything but love. But love. And this love that brings freedom in our life, this love that brings joys in our life, this love that brings life into our life, it's not only for us, but through us, he wants to save many, many around us. The Bible says this in my conclusion in Romans chapter 8, verse 35 and down. Who should separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or a sword? It is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Amazing. Amazing. Nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. And through all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You see, it's not through us, but through him who loved us. That's why we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. For I am persuaded. In different words, nothing can change my mind. It is the foundation of my life. Nothing that comes against me can change my life, even though my feelings might be low or might be high. I don't care about those things because I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Nothing can separate me and you from the love of Jesus Christ, because this love, it is in Christ Jesus. And this love cannot be robbed. This love cannot be robbed, but it's the foundation of Christianity. Do you feel like maybe you use this word, but it's agape love, unconditional. You can't do nothing to deserve this love. God is offering this love to me and to you for free. We don't have to pay it, but somebody paid it. And it was the very life of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, dying on a cross for me and for you to have this love. Amazing. You don't have to spend 20-something billion dollars today to prove to somebody that you love them. You don't have to spend all these things to prove to God that you love Him. But always He says, come to me as you are, because I love you. Stand with me, please. We're going to spend a few moments in prayer. And I would like to just ask you to be bold and just lift your hands. And God knows your heart, God knows where you are. But if you are afraid that fear crept into your heart and it comes because of the absence of the love of Jesus, it's understanding this unconditional love. When we have a lack of understanding of that, fear will cripple into our hearts, like it crippled in Joseph's brothers. But Joseph did not push them away, but he embraced them. And he loved them again and reassured them. And he spoke, the Bible says, kindly to them. And today I believe that Jesus, and through the Holy Spirit, He wants to speak kindly to you, to remind you that He does love you. If you're afraid and tormented about your past and regrets, and I'm with you on all of those things, but it's time for us to move forward in the love of God. It is time for us to move forward in the love of God, because this is going to be the weapon that we're going to be withstanding in the future days. It is that love, unconditional love. And if we have the love of Jesus Christ, oh my goodness, we have everything. Because this love will compel us to give ourselves for forever, just for His glory. Amen. So if you can bow your heads and close your eyes, and if you're in this place that fear is tormenting your life, and especially your past, especially the things that you regret that are always there, that you're thinking one day God is going to come and just turn the tables against me and He's going to punish me, I can assure you He won't do that. You know why? Because His Son took the punishment on the cross for me and for you, so we can live now and share His love. And if this is you, if you can raise your hand, then we're going to pray for you. I see your hand. I see your hand. Hallelujah. Dr. Colin, would you mind coming, please, and just praying for these people that are battling with fear in their lives? And perfect love of Jesus Christ casts out every fear. Hallelujah.
Jesus, we just thank You for such a precious word this morning. Lord, now we pray for an anointing to receive it. Lord, everything that in us that seems to put this word far from us, oh God, we ask for the ability to move it from our head to our heart, that we may live, and everything about our life shows we believe that we are forgiven and we can forgive, that we love and we can receive love in a way that is very transformative and attractive to this world. Pray, Lord, for those that have raised their hands. I thank You that Your promise, that if we would open our hearts to your love, it will cast out fear. It will cast out lies. And Lord, we just rejoice today that whenever on this Valentine's Day, when the world is celebrating hearts and love, that through Jesus Christ, we can understand true love that saves us, transforms us, and always says, when God says, you belong to me, everything I have, I give to you because of my son, Jesus. So this day we open our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ in such a fresh way. And we thank you, oh God, we leave this place marked, known that we are truly loved by God. I thank you we get to tell the devil every day we are loved by him. We have a hope and a future. So by your Spirit, shed this love abroad in our hearts. Shed it from heaven that it, Lord, it takes root and grounded in us, oh God, that we live loved and we live forgiven, that we may love and forgive. We thank you for this word. We thank you for this truth. We are saved. We are loved. We are accepted. We're forgiven. We're cleansed. And we live a new way because you loved us, Lord Jesus. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. God is good. Amen. We should be leaving this place encouraged with a smile on our face and to say, you know what? I can't deserve anything. So I'm just going to accept it. I can't give anything to him, so I'm just going to accept it. And we're going to live with a victorious song. And we're going to declare that what the enemy meant for evil, God has turned it for good. You hear me? Not you. I didn't turn it for good. God has turned it for good. What the enemy meant for evil, God is going to turn it for good in your life. And when you're going to look back, you're going to say, oh, because of your faithfulness. Oh, it is because of your mercy. Oh, it is because of your love. Let's just give him a shout of praise and leave this room with a shout of a song to worship him.